open and informed discussion on the challenges schools, teachers, and students face during COVID-19. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded. We are back. Talk about the challenges students, parents, schools face during COVID. How about the challenges students, kids, schools, teachers face? You know, I don't want to quote, we're not out of COVID. And in fact, you know, this childhood variant seems to be incredibly problematic with younger kids, which, you know, maybe this, maybe the very last quarter of the show will hit a little bit of that. But, you know, Johnny, you and I were talking offline about, you know, Harper and Jules coming in to talk about this issue. And you made a comment to me about, and you just said, you know, like, this war on bodies, and again, to not
and difference, bodies and difference,
right? Bodies and difference, right? And then though too, to be very careful not to lump it all into one big container. But you know, there's a war on trans kids.
Absolutely. I mean, as both, you know, Harper and Jules shared with us tonight, there is a history of this. It's not new. It's not simply exclusion in the sense of not allowed to play a particular sport or participate in a particular way, which is part of the problem, not right. We know that it is really about a kind of violence against difference in young people's lives that have not only silenced people being able to identify and be authentic to who they are, but have caused great trauma, not only in the lives of those young people, but carrying forward into their adult years and setting sort of that idea of a really unhealthy normalcy. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting up the scare quotes, you know, that say there is one particular way to be. And if you're not that way, something is wrong with you. And both Harper and Jules really illuminated that tonight, that there's a history there and that there's also a movement to say this is not okay and that we can learn. And I loved hearing, I always loved this, and you can't hear it enough. Where do we go to learn as often as we can from the experiences and the voices of children sharing their experiences, right? When we start to say, what can we do as educators? And this is thematic across almost all the wonderful guests we have on here. When we ask them, you know, what do we do? And they say, Johnny and Tim, listen to children, not just like observe them and map onto their experiences what we think is happening as trained educators or whatever, you know, are, and I'm putting the scare quotes up, our expertise is, right? To really embrace humility, right? And put hubris to the back seat and say, what are we learning from listening to the experiences and the courageous lives that are being shared by the young people in our classrooms and communities?
I think, yeah, when you you talk about that too, and that's the part, it's like educators, and you know, we get so too bound up. And as you said, you know, this is this moment, and Kevin always talks about naming the moment, you know, and to point out, we're not talking, like you just said, I don't want you to listen to kids reading, you know, we're not saying listen to children reading their ABCs, not observational for academic and intellectual type of measurement, listening. Listen to them tell you about what is going on in their lives, how it is. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, and Tim, we both know, a couple of white guys here who need to acknowledge the fact that you can't just jump right to creating, and I put the scare quotes up again, a safe space for sharing these stories. I mean, it really has to be holistic. It really has to be, what are the environments that support diversity? And I don't mean that in sort of a flat, like diversity light kind of higher ed conversation. I really mean the support difference, and that sets precedence that in the spaces that we're learning and sharing together, we value one another deeper than sort of those measurements you just talked about. And we really model listening and respecting and honoring the diverse experiences of the young people and the families and the people and broadly the people in our communities. And in the spaces where educators are doing that, we're seeing young people share, right, stories that change policy, stories that change practice. And I don't want to put like singular issues of people on a pedestal here, but let's just be honest, the courage of young people who share these stories in even quote unquote, and my scare quotes are coming out a lot tonight, safe spaces, right? Or like really progressive classrooms. These are difficult experiences to share. Mm-hmm. And I can't, I mean, as a learner, always in educational spaces, you know, learning from our trans youth has radically shaped how I think about educational policy, especially in the recent years. Like reading these histories, learning from our guests tonight and folks who have shared these stories, and especially young people, it's just so glaringly obvious time and time again, what are we doing in our schools to have this much suffering amongst our youth, to have this much difficulty in just giving people and acknowledging that difference is okay, and how are we going to work and live together in a peaceful way? So, I mean, my hat's off to it. I don't want to like put it on a pedestal too much, but it is just remarkable the stories that are being shared.
Yeah, and it's not a pedestal. And I'm going to try to say this as best I can. You know, there's a tsunami of trauma. And you know, we will go all, let's go back to Gloria Ladson Billings when we broke into this discussion about what is education going to be in a whatever post-pandemic world is going to be, and her wish to say it better not be what it used to be. And so we hear this tsunami of trauma, you know, in different ways, and you say the courage and that comes forth with people talking about these things now during a traumatic pandemic that we're coming out. Are these 80 bills this recognition too? It's almost like, I keep going, it's like we need to get back to quote normal, as you say, scare quotes, you know, and this is another, this thing, you know. And then again, the trivialization that each of the courageous people that have come through with their trauma stories to let us know, how do we then stop that from becoming belittled into something that's, you know, is in this one, I've heard this, oh, the trans, it's, you said, you know, it's the sports, or I hear, oh, so these are the bathroom rules we now have to follow, right? It becomes, oh, this is the bathroom law. No. This isn't the bathroom law. This is the recognition of a human. This is not a bathroom law. You know, we break it like that. And Johnny asked the question, you know, what are we going to do? If you're out there, 844-967-2789, please join our discussion. We would gladly have you come in. But Johnny, keep going on that.
Yeah, and I come back to it. And Tim, it's also been so inspiring to hear success stories, mm-hmm. especially from children who spoke out. I kind of refer to this a few times, and I wish I listened to more podcasts because I'm learning so much from people doing this sort of dialogue format. But I listened to a podcast, Tiny Reminders, and there's an episode, A Safe Space for Me, and Noah, a student, talks about his story and the way he's supported in his school, right? In, you know, his gender choice, and really him making that shift in a community that supported him. And I heard that this summer and I thought, why aren't we just listening to youth who are teaching us how to be better educators? So if you can check out Tiny Reminders, check out Jules' work. We're going to keep trying to find resources where it's just that simple.
Yeah, there's not going to be an excuse. I had to go back to normal because there weren't resources and I didn't know about this stuff. Look,
yeah, this is us. We're learning as we're learning.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing that I thought was so amazing about this letter, right? When the letter came out and we signed it, of course, reading through it and immediately, well, you know, we've talked about Kevin, you know, Dr. Kimishiro, who has been just a leader, right, around organizing us in higher ed and writ large around scholar activism and education, right? So when the emails come through from him, you know, it's very seldom that there's not going to be a signature, but you read through and I'm thinking, This is phenomenal. I don't see why any of our superintendents, our principals, teachers in schools, PTAs, school boards can't meet these needs. These are real simple asks. These are real baseline around dignity and recognition. And it's and they're not big asks. That's the beautiful thing.
They're not big asks, and that's why too to have it on Busted Pencils, because my concern is that somebody sees 17,300 scholar activists sign this letter, and all of a sudden, well, that's not me. I'm not a scholar activist. I'm a teacher. I'm a principal. Yes, you are. You know, yeah. And that's, you know, that's the other important part about framing it here for listeners all across who are out there who listen to Busted Pencils, whether it's on Facebook, whether you download us after the podcast is available, however it is. But it's like, no, you know, we're going to continue this. Johnny.
And we're just signed on to it to say, absolutely, this is consensus across a very diverse group of responsible educators. Right. The consensus. We talked about that shows and shows ago, the difference between consensus, right, and false equivalencies. The one person who says, well, maybe this is dangerous for kids. No, consensus is this is what we ought to be doing for children in our schools. And it's check out the letter. We'll share the link. But I mean, it is just asking for some very basic changes that we all ought to be able to make. And honestly, I'm hopeful, right, that Title IX kind of creates a discourse, right, that legally this becomes law. I really see, even with the onslaught of these anti-trans bills, that the community rises above that and says, enough. These are basic, important things to acknowledge, and we know better and we'll do better in our community. So check out the letter. You know, we'll send a link to it. We can even review what are some of those main points if you're a principal listening. You know, and as a school community, you're going to make these shifts. Superintendents, we know some of you listen or might tune in or hear about this. And we're asking you to, you know, push for these changes. This is about dignity, and it's about supporting children in our community. And this is really important stuff. It was before COVID. It's extra, as Tim noted, coming out of COVID because we're layering on the trauma. There's no excuse for why we're not doing better in our communities and not supporting our trans youth like we would be supporting any youth.
And this is the part where we look at all this and say the hopefulness, because people can get down in the trauma that's been there, that has we've gone through and we know it, but there's a hopefulness in this trauma that comes out. And here are again guests talking about, again, we're going to, you know what, stop bullying trans kids. They've been here. They've been here for the longest time. They need that same support and love as, you know, because, man, I don't know, Johnny, we get back. Hopefully, you know, get a caller. If not, maybe take a little turn and look at the new COVID variant. But again, check out Harper Keenan, Jules, Joe Peterson, their stuff. Right. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, number 844-967-2789. Call us when we get back.
Who knows?